It's wonderful to be in the house of God. And I know Pastor and Mrs. Hagan, I believe that they're ministering over at Oklahoma City tonight. And so it's a privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to you tonight. And you're welcome, all of you that are here tonight, and those of you that are watching online. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of the service. We trust that you'll be blessed. And I remember the last time that I ministered was on Can You Not Discern? And we talked about the concern that I had about, expressed about people being taken advantage of or falling into traps of the enemy and or not being able to discern when the Lord actually is moving. And so we talked about that for a little while, and I want to continue with that tonight. It just seemed good that we would have a few more things to say about that. You can find your place in Hebrews chapter 5. And the concern that I have on my heart is, this, I believe, a concern from God, and that is that God's people do not be taken advantage of. Amen. And that you'll be able to recognize a visitation from the Lord when He comes. You do realize that He is always with you in the sense that He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So really, there's no problem. I mean, He's really everywhere, so He's always... We can't go someplace that He's not. Isn't that right? And you know that if you're born again, that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, and you know He dwells in you. Isn't that right? And the Bible says He abides there forever. Isn't that right? So I don't have to worry about Him. In that sense, I don't have to discern, is He in me, is He not in me? Today is Tuesday. Now, which day is it that He's supposed to be in me? No, my friend, He's always in you. Isn't that right? Now, but there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests to do things, the mighty works of God in our midst, and we need to be sensitive to those times. Doesn't do it all the time, but He does it, at least not in the way that we think. He probably does a whole lot more than we're aware of. Because, you know, He is the teacher. And so a teacher would teach, wouldn't he? And anywhere that he can find a vessel to teach through, that he would be teaching. And He teaches. How many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit speak quietly to you and teach you something? Well, you know, He's the teacher. You can count on that. How many of you ever had help, the help of the Lord? Well, that's a manifestation right there of the Holy Spirit, and so we're glad for that. And there's all kinds of things. How many of you could say, He guided me and He's led me? Well, that's a manifestation too. And so we have to learn to be sensitive to those things. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says it this way, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And then it says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And then over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, we have Paul's prayer that he prayed concerning the Philippians. I believe it's a good prayer for us today. And he says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ." And so he tells us there that we are to abound in love. We are to abound in knowledge, but we're also to abound in all discernment. We ought to be a discerning people. We need to know what is good. We need to know what is evil. We need to know what is the difference between what is the Lord and what the enemy would send. And the Bible tells us that Satan is able to transform himself as an angel of light, and he deceives people that way. And I have to tell you that there's been some times when I have felt like I got something I remember one time in particular, I felt like I got something from the Lord. I heard it, and it sounded exciting, and it was thrilling, and it was really moving. And so I went back to look into the Word of God, and I found a problem. It wasn't scriptural. And I had a choice right there to go with that which was thrilling and exciting, or to go with the Word. And so you see, you can increase your level of discernment simply by knowing the Word, by knowing the Word of God. So that can help you to raise your level of discernment. The more you know of the Word, the more you can discern whether something is of the Lord or not. Also, you can increase your level of discernment by learning to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. You can also, now this is the one that's probably not as popular, but you can also grow in discernment, raise your level of discernment by growing up and becoming a mature Christian. I just thought I'd mention that. Amen. I saw something on Facebook the other day that had a big old bulldog. A picture of a big old bulldog had a little pacifier that he was really going after. And I can't tell you the thoughts I had about that. Now, here's something else. You can also increase your level of discernment by getting advice from other mature Christians. How many of you know at least one Christian that's more mature than you are? You know, it would be good at times to run things by and ask questions. What do you think? What do you know about this? And so we can increase our level of discernment. That's good news. Amen. I don't have to remain gullible, naive, innocent in the sense that I don't have a clue as to what's going on. I don't have to be clueless. I remember they had a television show a number of years ago. What was it? Was it Clueless or something? I forget. Is that what it was? Something had to do something like that. And I never watched it because I decided I didn't want to be clueless. Anyway, it's kind of like, you know, you decide what you're going to watch because I like to watch what I like to be. You know? Now, maybe you have and you find these things are exciting, but I grew up on the plains of Kansas, and I never watched the movie called Twister. You know, when you got a front row seat. But you know, I decided that Twister's not going to help my faith. Haven't watched Jaws either. I've come across it a few times flipping channels, and I kept on flipping. I said, I want to be able to enjoy the ocean. You understand what I mean? But now listen, we can raise our level of discernment. We can be people that are not taken advantage of. People that will recognize the visitation of the Lord when He comes. We mentioned last time that one of the sad things was that Israel did not recognize the time of the visitation of Christ when He came, and Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of it. And so the good news is we don't have to miss the Lord. Amen. So now let me give you four areas in which we need discernment. Four areas in which we need discernment. First of all, we need to discern when worldly, fleshly, carnal, soulish things appear, masquerading as something from the Lord. And so you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, and we'll read verse 14 and 15. But I want to encourage you to be people that people of love, people that walk in love, people that are able to hold your peace, whether something that you're seeing is of the Lord or whether it's something in the that somebody is doing and it's actually just the flesh. Just because the other person is in the flesh doesn't mean you have to be.
That's right.
Isn't that right? Isn't that a good thought? And so if we're discerning people, then we should be able to exhibit the qualities of God and be able to move forward in the things of God, whether those people are in the flesh or whether they're really following God or not. Just a thought. Then now look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he says in verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now, let's look at this just a moment. He said that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, if there's a visitation, the natural man may laugh about it. The person that's born again may not recognize it. The person that's religious, goes to church, but doesn't really have a relationship with God, may not be able to be in the right place or even know about it, because they just don't have that discernment. Why is that? They cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually, I believe, venturing into dangerous territory for me, but as I understand it, it is an adverb that describes how you discern. You would discern spiritually. In other words, by the Spirit, you would discern. You have to have the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern whether something's of the Lord and whether something's not. So you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Listen, you need to start listening to Him. Your life will improve when you listen to Him.
Yes, it will.
Your life will improve when you get quiet enough to hear His voice. You might want to look at your neighbor and just tell him, I think he's talking about you. But you understand now, listen to me. I know I saw some husband and wives enjoying the moment. But anyway, it's all right. But you see, we have to realize then, why can't the natural man recognize when the Lord is manifesting? When God is manifesting, or when God is moving, why does the world make fun of Christianity? It says they cannot recognize. They cannot. Why not? They don't have the one who helps them do it. They don't have the one who opens their eyes. They don't have the one who illuminates their mind to the reality of what God wants to do in these last days. Okay? And notice this. In verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges. The word judges is actually the same Greek word as in verse 14, the word discerned. So you could read it this way, but he who is spiritual discerns all things. And it says, goes on and says, yet he himself is rightly discerned by no one. In other words, you have to, now let me just tell you this, that doesn't mean you're a rebel. And that you don't have to listen to anybody, and that you're not going to take any advice from anybody. And I got the Lord, and I don't need anybody to teach me, because I got the Holy Spirit. My friend, the Holy Spirit can speak in many ways. He can speak directly inside of you. He can speak through the Word. He can speak through your brother, and He can speak through your sister. He can speak through your pastor. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak through a rooster. There's just a lot of ways. He can wake you up in the middle of the night and take you from a deep sleep to wide awake in less than a second. He can actually as you're going down the road, he can actually cause a great light to come and blind you for 3 days and have somebody you need somebody to lead you by the hand and into a room where you're sitting there by yourself. And then God speaks to another person, says, go down there and lay hands on him, and he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost and healed, and tell him what I'm going to have him to do. That's what happened to Paul. Isn't that right? I'm trying to picture somebody thinking they're working for God like Paul was, driving a car down one of our interstates, and how that would go. I'm hoping he'd get the car stopped before he fell, before he was blinded. But anyway, but you have to realize then that we are equipped to discern when the Lord is moving, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Verse 16, I didn't put that down, but it says that we have the mind of Christ. How in the world would you have the mind of Christ? It's because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside who knows all things. He knows everything that Christ knows. You have Him. Isn't that right? But now let's go to chapter 3. Let's just follow it up. Let's just keep reading. Chapter 3, Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said it this way in verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people." He said, "I couldn't speak to you as people who had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You were not operating by the help of the Holy Spirit." He said, but you're carnal. But as to carnal, as babes in Christ, people who didn't know anything. Verse 2, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men or men that don't have the Holy Spirit?" And so you have to recognize that Paul discerned that where the Corinthian church was at. I think it's interesting that successful ministers are able to discern where their people are at. Jesus himself discerned where his disciples were at. He told them in one place, he said, "I've got many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot understand them now. I can't tell you right now. Even if I told you, it wouldn't do any good because you're not there. You're not at that level of cooperation with the Holy Spirit where you would listen." So we have to recognize that. But the thing that encourages me, in your personal life, God wants you to be able to discern what to do. That's number two. Discernment, you need discernment in your personal life and conduct as to what to do. And so Acts chapter 27, you can read it through verses 9 through 11. Paul was being taken to Rome, and he said to the people in charge of the ship, he said, "I perceive that there's going to be much danger on this voyage." The word "perceive" is the same Greek word as you translated in other places, "discern" in the New Testament. You have to understand that Paul, in his own, he discerned the danger. And you and I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be able to discern whether we're on a safe path or whether there's danger ahead. Isn't that right? So you have to be ready to do that. And you may be able to move forward safely, or the Lord will take you through it safely. The Lord may be take you around it, or maybe the Lord will stop you and tell you to wait. Why? Because of the danger that's there. There may be times when there's a green light, and it's like, how many of you ever sat at a green light at a traffic, the light turned green and you didn't notice it, and all of a sudden you heard that annoying person behind you blaring the horn, you know, and you felt like your car lit up like a neon sign and everybody looking at you, huh? You didn't see it, did you? You understand what I mean? And, you know, sometimes we just need help to wake up to the fact, to the opportunity that's there, or to wake up to the way that we should go. Or, I mean, it's just almost like you're almost embarrassing in some sense. You mean I wasn't smart enough to figure it out myself? No, God had helped me. Isn't that the good news? He's always willing to help. And I think that's a safe place to be, is to acknowledge to acknowledge freely that wherever you are right now, you're there because of the help of the Lord. You're sitting in the house of God tonight because of the help of the Lord. You know, the truth is, now friends, I'm not putting you down when I say this, because I'm putting myself in there. We're just not that smart. We're really not. You know why? You know how I know that? Because you had to have a revelation of Jesus Christ in order to get saved. We did. And so we, you know, it's so good to be able. God is interested in your personal life. He really is. And I want to encourage you to cultivate that. Stay in the Word. Here's another place. To discern the voice of the Lord or the spiritual things of God. What is the right way to do something? How do you follow the Lord? What is the Lord saying? That's number three. Discernment in the area of spiritual things that the Lord wants us to walk in or something of that nature. Now listen to me. Sometimes it's a move of God, and you can say amen if you want to, but it's a move of God to be able to walk in love. It really is. God helps us to walk in love. I remember years when we first started the first church there in Illinois, the opening month that we had been using the building prior to that, remodeling it, and we'd been getting an electric bill for, I think $300, something like that. And the next month, all of a sudden, we get an electric bill for $2,500. Now, some people, that's not much. In this place, it's not much when you start hearing what Miss Hagin's got to pay for. You'll understand what I mean by that. But for us, just starting out, that was... So we contacted them. Oh, no, our equipment's right. That's right. We didn't make a mistake, you know. Well, I knew they put a new meter in. I said, did you make sure the meter was properly set when they put it in? Oh, yeah, we checked it. We'll come out and check it. And I couldn't get anywhere. The company's just down the road. I have to drive by them every day to go to the post office. And I wanted to... But I remember at some point, I didn't do anything. I'll tell you that. I didn't do anything for a while. I was shaking my head at it. I mean, how come, can't you just, at the audacity of just stonewalling like they did. And so I would drive by there. And I felt just this little nudge to bless them. And every time I drove by there, I said, I bless you in Jesus' name, and you're going to give me back my money in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name, and you're going to give me back my money. I bless you, and you're going to give me back my money in Jesus' name. I bless you, and you're going to give me back my money in Jesus' name. I did it for a year. And one day, my wife she now had a track record. All the bills after that were back in the $200, $300 range, you understand? So my wife grabbed the bills and she called and happened to get a person that wanted to help. And she looked at it a little bit and she said, we made a mistake. She said, would you like that as to be a credit or would you like a check? And she said, we'd like a check, please. So we got that money back. But I didn't get it back acting the way I felt like acting. And so we have to realize there are times when we just have to be led by the... It's those little things like that that'll help prepare us for the next thing. Isn't that right? I remember when my wife, she was out washing the dishes one day and felt led to go pray. Went in the bedroom and laid on the bed and prayed in the Holy Ghost until the burden lifted. And later that day, we got word that my dad and my youngest brother were... driving a farm tractor down the road and some lady traveling about 70 miles an hour hit them right in the back of the, knocked the tractor over in the ditch, broke the rear axle, the tire came off, and my dad slammed up into the steering wheel, and he wasn't hurt too bad, but my youngest brother was just sitting on the fender because they were driving slow, you know. Well, he went up into the air and came down on the gravel road and slid on the gravel road, and my dad looked over there and looked like he was gone. My dad jumped off the tractor, forgot that he was hurt at all, and went over there. And he said, I thought he was gone. And he didn't respond well. And so they called the ambulance. And, of course, it took a while to get 8 miles out of town and come get him. And they took him to the hospital. But the time he got to the hospital, though, he was conscious again. They checked him out. No broken bones. No internal injuries, just a scraped back. And that night, they didn't even keep him. They dismissed him. And we went out to see him that night. And he was sitting there grinning. I said, you didn't have to do that to get out of the chores. But you know, she could have said she was busy and not prayed. Well convinced that we wouldn't have him. Here's another thing. Discernment in the things in the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says this. In the New King James, it says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things. It doesn't say be suspicious of everything. It doesn't say be critical of everything. That's not what it says. But it does mean that you listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside. Let me just say this. King James Version says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Jubilee Bible says, examine all things, retain that which is good. The word prove or test right there, it means this by implication. It means to approve something. You are to approve whether something's of the Lord or not. You have to satisfy yourself with that. Interesting, watching Pastor Hagin this morning, gets up there, and all of a sudden, he discerns a word from the Lord for somebody on the online, watching online, or even somebody in the audience this morning. He brought that out. And we're to either bear witness with that, or we're not to. Now, we bore witness to it. It was the Lord. I just tell you that I just felt the anointing on that. I just sensed the anointing upon that today. But you know, not everybody is like Pastor Hagin. I'm just sad to tell you that. You do have to discern. When somebody comes up to you and tells you, I got a word from the Lord for you. You do have to discern. I remember years ago, my wife and I, we were with two other couples. We went to another minister's, three of us minister couples went to another place, and there was a guest minister there, and so he was ministering, and then he started, they said he was a prophet, and so he began to minister, and he was speaking real slow to people. I noticed all of a sudden he was doing that, speaking real slow. I was just kind of watching him, and he'd say a little something, and then the persons he's saying to either would shake their head, and so he'd say something else. And I said to my just up out of myself, he's reading their countenance. He's not speaking by the Lord, he's reading their countenance. And just like that, the Lord spoke to him, and he said, when he speaks to you, you just hold still. I said, okay, so he's going to speak to me. Now, the Bible says, despise not prophesying, but you do test everything. And discern. Well, I held still. When he came to me, sure enough, he did. The Lord knows what he's talking about. So I just held real still. And when he said a little something, and then he stopped, and I just looked at him. I thought to myself, you're on your own, buddy. Either you and the Holy Ghost is enough or else. And he got flustered in the middle of it, and then he started saying something about Leah and I were having marital problems and all of that in front of everybody, you know. And I just didn't say anything, and he didn't dare ask me whether I thought it was of the Lord or not. He just went on to somebody else. And afterwards, now here's what's interesting. Those other two couples, they asked me, said, what did you think? Was that? I said, he missed it. They said, are you sure? I said, sure, I'm sure. I know whether I'm having trouble with my wife or not. I ought to know. I went to fellowship afterwards, you know. And I noticed that that man stayed across the room from me. I noticed that my friends weren't as friendly to me as they were before, because you see, And I knew what they were thinking. If that man missed it to me, wonder if he missed it to them. But you know, the interesting thing is, the minister had him back again. My same friends, they went to see him again, said, you want to go? I said, no, I don't believe I would. Interesting, isn't it? And so we have to be discerning. Discerning of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know, there's people like, I watch Pastor Hagin a lot because, and Brother Hagin when he was alive, but Pastor Hagin now, because they're masters at interpreting what needs to happen in a service. That, my friend, is something that, a discernment of what needs to happen next, what needs to happen here, what needs to fit in here and that way. And you see, my friend, learn from that. Let me give you three quick safeguards and then we'll go. First of all, you need to know the word. Hebrews 4:12, you can just write that down. You can look that up. Hebrews 4:12 will tell you that and enables you to be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then, second of all, know the Holy Spirit as a person who lives in you. As a person. I'm not talking about an experience where you get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. But I'm talking about where you're conscious of Him and that He's with you, that you're conscious that He's with you and that you're comfortable talking to Him and that you're confident that He would tell you what you need to know. Thirdly, know those that labor among you. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The word recognize gives the idea of understanding who they are. My friend, let me tell you, I'm amused at people who go chasing off after to listen to somebody they haven't got a clue who it is. They don't know anything about their personal life. They don't know anything about their previous ministry. All they know is they saw a television program or they heard them on the radio or somebody said or they found a book. Friend, anybody can write a book these days. I'm not putting that down. I'm just simply saying you need more verification than that. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of problems are solved if you'll simply go with those that you know. Run with those that you know. A lot of problems. Safer to run with those that you know. I don't know about you, but you can stand up if you would, please. If you stand up, I promise to quit. I didn't say when. I just found out this. Listen to me. I want to run with people of like faith. Yes. I want to be able to go. You know, Peter and John, they got in trouble. They went to their own company. I want to run with my own company. There's other companies, and I'm not saying they're all bad. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to run with my company. Isn't that right? And I want to tell you this. Pastor Yoder, what if they're... I'll tell you, this person I've been listening to, it's the latest and greatest. I'm just telling you, my friend, it's not the fastest and flashiest that'll get you where you need to be. It's the steady, daily application of the Word of God, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to your pastor, listening to those that you know are solid in the faith that will keep you steady in the last days. I am not interested in running 50 years with God and in the last days veer off with some stranger and be led into the ditch somewhere and have a wreck where I don't even know which way's up. Not interested in that. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and thank God. He is a good God, a mighty God. He is well able to take care of you. Now listen, listen to me. Put your trust in Him. Lean in Him. Listen to me. I rebuke the fear of failure that comes. I'm just telling you, I know it. There's a fear of failure that's been harassing somebody in this place tonight. And I say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Now whoever it is, you need to just put your hands up and just boldly say, I trust you, Lord. You'll be able to see me through. You'll be able to see me through. You're seeing me through. I'm well able. I'm going to come out all right. I'm going to come out all right. Because the Lord has taken care of me. Hallelujah. He is able to take care of us tonight. Amen. Amen. So don't be taken advantage of, but be put into a place so that where you can recognize when the Lord is manifesting on your behalf. Amen. And just step right into that. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you received something tonight? I trust I said something that will just kind of, some of you, I hope your tractor needs to be cranked, and I hope I got it cranked for you. Some of you just need a tune-up, and I hope I tuned you up. Some of you, I just need a little encouragement tonight. I hope you got it. We love you, and we appreciate every one of you, and we encourage you to be here Wednesday night, because I know Pastor is going to be here, and he's going to have a good word for you. Amen. Glory to God. And so we're glad for that. And we've got these gentlemen right here, and we've got the ladies over here, and they're ready to pray for you. They're not contrary to what you were thinking. They're not down. They didn't come down here to carry me out. They're down here to pray with you. They're here to pray with you, whatever you need, whether it's salvation, provision, deliverance, healing, whatever it might be. You need prayer for something, you come find the ladies, you find these ladies, and men, you connect with these guys, and they'll pray with you and believe God with you and mix faith with you, and you're going to get an answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those of you that are here for the very first time to Rhema Bible Church, we want to say again, thank you for being here tonight. And the connection team, if you'll find them and take them to that place where you can get that wonderful gift as a way of our way of saying thank you. We appreciate you doing that. And so we're glad for that. Would you shake hands with somebody and let them know that you appreciate them as your brother and sister in the Lord? God bless you.